Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. Now today, I have got a super exciting interview for you because I am here with Bo Kramer. Now, if you don't know who Bo is a legend in the magic community. He's been around for a long time. He is a creator, a performer, an innovator. But beyond that, he is the man responsible for all of the socials for Murphy's Magic. He's the one that keeps all of them popping along, which is a really hard job in its own right. But as I say, outside of Murphy's, he does so much as well. He's an incredibly nice guy, and I've met very few people that are as passionate about magic as Bo. So I'm super excited to have him on the channel. Here he is, Mr. Bo Kramer. How you doing?
Good, mate. Thank you. I don't know where to start even from that introduction. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. You're actually making me blush. I'm all uncomfortable now. I appreciate it.
Every word I said is 100% true. No, you are awesome. You are a super nice guy. And, we're going to talk about Murphy's at some point, because obviously that's where you are right now. Mm-hmm. Before we do, we're going to talk about other stuff. But one thing I will say is about a month or two ago, I didn't realize you were doing Murphy's socials. And I said to Lloyd, man, everything that Murphy's is doing is popping right now. Like, it's all just taking off. And he was like, oh, yeah, but Bo's doing a lot of that. And I was like, right, okay, so that makes sense. You're doing a great job there.
Oh, thank you.
And you're so busy because you got your own thing going on. You're a family man. You got Murphy's. You're having to handle all of that. So thank you for finding the time to come on the channel.
My absolute pleasure, man. It is an absolute honor. And thank you so much for even asking me. I really, really, really do appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I want to start off at the very beginning because a lot of people might know who you are, but I want to give them a frame of reference before we talk about what you're doing right now. Let's talk about how you got into magic. Let's talk about how old were you, where you were, what actually happened. Let's talk about all that sort of stuff. What was your origin story? What got you into magic?
Oh, all right. So mine started back in Australia, probably 6, 7, like a lot of people trying to get into magic back then. And it started from my grandfather showing me a magic trick, and then got my magic set for Christmas. And I did it all the way through up in high school, and I got told by my careers advisor, because I come from a small country town, this isn't a proper job. You need a proper career. So I was like, all right, so what do? And my grandfather was a structural engineer. So I quit magic, essentially, and became a structural engineer and did that for 6.5 years. And I'm sure they're watching right now. I absolutely loved the job. I love being an engineer, but I just couldn't get magic out of my head. And I kept just watching. My boss would look over, and while I'm engineering stuff, I'd dual monitors, and there'd be also magic trailers and magic things going on the other monitor. I just couldn't get it out of my head. And at one point I said, look, I'm going to quit engineering to follow magic. And the look on his face, he's like, you shouldn't be doing this. You're throwing your life away. And I quit magic, left my small country town, moved down to Melbourne and started working started performing magic. Worked in a bar, and that's where I could try and learn organic stuff. And coming from a small town, back then wasn't really online magic stores. You'd have like your YouTube and stuff, but you couldn't really buy a lot of magic and get it shipped up to you. So I started making little props myself and trying them out in bars. And then Chris Wayne, his name's Chris Walker, he's part of the Naked Magicians. He was on a kids' TV show, and I became friends with him and was over at his house once, and then created a prop literally while he was sending emails. And he's like, I've got a TV spot tomorrow. Do you mind if I perform that? And he performed it the next day. And then from then, it kind of just, my name kind of got around in Australia of like, this guy makes props and he is really into magic. And then I worked with Matt Tarrant in Adelaide doing his fringe shows for about 5 years, working on the back end, creating routines for him, running the whole stage. Like, it was just literally me and him. I'd run all the back end of the whole magic show, like all the lights, sounding, everything. And then it's obviously hard to, I'd create magic for things over in America for like the Blue Crown and Lost Art. Obviously, it's a lot harder to travel from there. You know, it's like 16, 17 hours from Australia to America. So then I met who's now my wife in Australia. When she asked me to come to the UK, that opened up a whole world of doors, like coming over. I started working for like Dynamo and working in like the back end of social media there. Like social media wasn't something I kind of fell into with magic. I was still performing magic quite a bit. But the social media realm came in of the magic side of it is because I was trying to think outside the box of what everyone's performing magic online as. And I was trying to think of a cool, interesting way to do that. And then other people started asking, oh, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me with this? And then my performing started taking a bit more of a back seat. I still perform as much as I can, but at the moment it's just more in the back seat of the things. I'm more creating content and helping with creation of ideas and helping improve people's socials and that kind of thing. Is that
okay?
That's a
it does. I mean, that's an overview, which is amazing. You've done so much with baffles of mine. I'm gonna break this down a little bit.
Yeah, break it down.
So when you were going through your journey, most of what you said was about consulting with people and creating props for people and creating magic for people. Yeah. There was very few times that you said performance. Now, how much have you, and I know you love magic, so how much of your time was spent on performance versus sort of creating and consultancy? Was that kind of your main thing, or have you always wanted to have just as big a kind of a, almost a career as a performer as well?
Well, okay, so this is probably like over what, 10, 15 years of this. So I was in Melbourne for a good side of 7 years, and that's when I was performing and creating my own things there. So while I worked in a bar, I'd do your corporate gigs and do your kids' parties and that kind of stuff. I was spread everywhere doing all that. It was only towards the end of those 7 years where I started getting asked to, oh, hey, can you help me with this prop? And I could still try and perform in the, so I'd still work in my bar. I worked in the bar all the way up until I moved to the UK 3 years ago. So I performed every day at the bar. A lot of the times, you know, I'd be behind the bar, so serving drinks. So a lot of my tricks were done with like napkins and straws and bottles and that kind of stuff. So, and then on weekends or when I could get away from the bar would be my corporate stuff. But that, yeah, it slowly started. Again, like I said, taking a back seat from that because I had to go where the work was, and there was more people asking me to help and create routines for them. And then I'd kind of flesh them out and give it to them. And I guess in that kind of side of the consultancy world, you can't perform it as much as you want to because you create the idea just for them. And it's up to them to like go perform it. And that. But I could never practice their routines. So when it came around to me practicing performing, I'd be back to the basics and the stuff that I was used to performing in the bars.
Okay.
So, I performed as much as I could over those years. I'd say probably, the majority of my magic career was, I guess, performing, and then more so consultancy work, like creating stuff, because that's kind of where I just took the passion into. And then when I could perform. If that makes sense. Okay. I don't know if
it
that's...
does. Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely does. And what about now? I mean, you're so busy with what you do in your role. Mm-hmm. Do you still find time to perform just as much now?
No, to be honest. A lot of times now it's for family. Like if I create a new effect, I'll be performing it for my poor wife. She sees it 900 times. And then if I'm out with friends or out at a bar or something, I'll try and get it out then. Or even bless them on Christmas. Like I'll go to family's house for Christmas and it's like Bo's here, magic showtime, so I'll do a lot of performances then. But or anytime I see family and friends around, especially with COVID, because I moved to the UK and then a year after we moved, that's when COVID hit, so we haven't been able to go out and perform. And I've never, I guess, never been really one for, I guess, the limelight. I hate the attention. So when I would perform, it makes me nervous. Like even now being on camera, like talking and stuff about all this, it's making me nervous and like sweaty. Like I hate being.
Oh man.
So when I perform and stuff, I hate people, like a group of people around me watching everything that I do. I'd rather be behind. And I guess that's when it kind of came out when people asked me to do stuff in Australia, I was more happy than to go, yeah, I'm happy to create that stuff for you. I'm happy to do all this kind of stuff and work with you on shows and stuff than being on the light. Because I know there'd be times when Matt would like, come out stage, come say hi to everyone. This is the guy that runs everything. Most times I wouldn't go out on stage. I'd be like, just give away from the side and thanks so much and duck back in, make some meal. Real nervous. So
do you get more enjoyment out of being the guy behind the scenes that's pulling all the strings, kind of like the puppet master that's making everything work? Yeah. Than the person that's actually there front and center? Because a lot of magicians, they get into magic because they've got an ego. I'm talking about me. They've got an ego and they want to be the center of attention. They want to have the limelight. But I know there's a lot of people that get into magic that are very nervous about performing. Mm. And it's interesting to hear from somebody that's got such a high profile in the industry that there are other avenues when you get into magic. You don't have to be that guy that's on stage. There's other options as well.
Yeah, that's it. It's just, yeah, I get my kick out of creating an effect. And when I first got here to Ireland, and there's a friend of mine, Joel Magician, he's really popular on TikTok and online and on TV and stuff. And I know when I first started hanging out with him, he was like, oh, he showed me this trick. He's like, oh, have you seen this trick with a headphone and around the phone? I was like, oh yeah, that's iLoopy Pool. He's like, yeah. I can't remember who created it. He's like, one of my favorite tricks. And I was like, oh, that's one of mine. It really excites me to see magicians performing my effects to other people and getting excited by the routine as much as I do. And then watching other people get excited by that, watching them perform. Yeah, I like sitting in a corner, that corner, watching other people perform the stuff that I work hard on. So that's where I get my enjoyment from it. And yeah, just seeing that, as a magician, you see the spectator light up. I like seeing the spectator light up. I like seeing the magician light up. It's something that they've just done to make this person going, it's a double whammy for me.
That makes sense. And, you know, obviously you built a big name up for yourself in Australia. You know, you were the go-to guy to make props and, you know, you were managing stage shows and you're consulting and you built up this huge reputation. And then you said, then you moved to London, which opened up lots of doors. But was it kind of, I know you went there obviously because of true love, but was it scary? Kind of going, well, I'm going to uproot my life where I've got my reputation and I've got my client base and people know that I'm the go-to guy and travel thousands of miles away to effectively start over, knowing that you don't really have much in place there. Yeah. Was that a thing that was nerve-wracking or was it not an issue?
Yeah, it's always going to be a nerve-wracking point in your mind where you're going to go, I literally have to say goodbye to my whole life in Australia. Like I know Matt asked me to work on one last show. We did one last show. And then a week before I left, he's like, I've actually got another show in Brisbane. Did you want to come work on it? I had to say, no, sorry. I'm literally flying out of the country like 3 days before. I can't do that. So it's nervous. Like you never want to say no to a job that, you know, you've been doing for years. So to say no to that and then pack up and leave. And it was nerve-wracking, but also towards the end, like I mentioned, a lot of my jobs were taking place in America. So I did a lot of work with the Blue Crown and Alex Pandrea. So working with him on stage shows. So that's when I had to go. It seemed like a no-brainer where I was starting to get pulled more and more out of Australia that I needed to actually kind of make the move, or I just make those long distance travels. So, and it was for the first, I guess the first 6 months, almost a year, I came to the UK and it was starting over. Like, I finished up my job because I came over here, then went straight to America. I was in the UK for a week and then went straight to America for gigs for Alex and came back. And then I literally had no jobs for about 6 months. And I was like, okay, what am I doing? So that's when I just buckled down into like creation to like create effects and then try and show other magicians them and that kind of stuff. And then that's when COVID hit. And then that's when I've been friends with Dynamo for a while. So that's when he asked me, hey, can you help with my socials? And then that's when that kind of opened more doors for me. So while the moved to open doors, there was that time period where there was literally nothing happening because I actually lost jobs because of COVID, because people like, oh, I don't see a reason for social media or working on that kind of stuff. I'm out of jobs. So I lost quite a few jobs doing that. And then they came, weirdly enough, like 2 months went by and then they came back and said, look, actually we realize social media is more important now than ever. Can you help us out again? So yeah, very nerve-wracking, quitting my job, quitting my life in Australia, quitting all the people I know to kind of move over here. But it seems like it's paying off and I hope it's paying off.
Definitely is paying off, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you.
Before we talk about social media, do you have any advice on creativity? Because you mentioned many times throughout this interview, you know, that one of the things you love doing is creating tricks for other people, watching magicians perform your routines.
Yeah.
And you know as well as me, because you interview a lot of people that bring out new products, that there's a burning desire for magicians to be creators. They want to be that person that has that trick that comes to market.
Yes.
What advice can you give to somebody who's trying to create their own trick, whether it be to perform themselves in their own show, whether it be to ultimately market to magicians? Is there any advice you can give me on creativity and inspiration and actually making that sort of thing happen?
Oh, my creativity comes from a lot of different places. Most times it'll be, you start with the end solution. This is what you want to happen, right? And you have to kind of build your way back. So a lot of times, so like my effect low key, I wanted a close-up confabulation routine you could do in a close-up scenario. I was like, how am I going to do this? And I didn't want to walk around with a little pad or a little box. And I was like, what seems really organic? A phone. So that's where I started that. And I started working my way back on how to create that. Where a lot of the other times it'll come around with fiddling with objects. And that kind of clicks something and going, okay, that works. How does this build into this? And you kind of just, it starts to grow into a monster from there. But that is only, and it's a lot of experimentation, like a lot of, like, I guess, if you put on your, like, your lab coat and your scientist gear, because you're going, you test this out, that doesn't work. You pigeonhole that because that could work for something else. You could have an awesome result from that. And then you build, you stick with what, don't get sidetracked and branch out into, like, you start creating 100 different effects. Stick with the one you want, pigeonhole the other stuff, put it over to the side, go, I'm not going to forget about that, we'll come back to that later, I'm here for one job. I know a lot of people, when they try and be creative, that's what they do, they lose the run of themselves and it gets overwhelming. Stick with what you want your end desire to be. And also too, comes down to, if you want to release these effects, if you're just doing them for your own creation, for your own performing, which I was doing back in Australia at the bar, I wasn't doing my history checks because I was like, this is my own method. This is my own routine. This is my own performance. I'm not looking at releasing this. But when you get into the realm of releasing, do your checks, do your chat with other magicians, go, have you heard of this? Even, you know, like iPhone effects that come out, I'd start chatting to people that create iPhone apps because they know as well, like, what they've thought of, if they know someone else is thinking. Like, I know with Low Key, I was creating it and I was only performing it. I performed it for like 2.5 years when I first created it. I was about to release it. And that's when I started chatting, showing other magicians. And Mark Calabrese said, have you heard of Ryan Schultz? He has a similar effect. And then that's when I was like, okay, so you start chatting to do your checks if you're going to release something, because there's nothing worse than after the fact, you releasing something and people going, this is already out in the market. And then you go, you have to kind of chase yourself or rectify why you haven't done your due diligence. But that's going from the whole realm from creating into releasing it. But I think that comes into the whole realm of creating. You have to think of the overall thing at the end of it. What do you want from this? Because you could hit a gold mine and create an effect. You're like, the world needs to see this. And then you could find out that someone's released it 10 years ago already. And you go, well, great. So, yeah. But it also comes down to, a lot of the times you create an effect where I find if you're taking an older effect, if you come across it, you don't come across it until the end. If it's a similar idea, but you're making advancements on the effect, like if you're taking it to that next level, that's where you want to do your crediting and stuff. But depends on if it's obviously what I've had it happen. I've created stuff and you go, this is brilliant, I want to release this. And you find out it's the exact same idea, exact same method. You kind of just, well, that was a loss, but it was a good experiment for me to go. And where can you grow from that, you know, into something more? Can you adapt that and make it better? So
yeah,
it's a fickle and fun game to try and be creative, but just keep pushing yourself. Don't stop and go, this isn't working. Find out what works for you. And I guess when you come to a consultant, you have to find, a lot of times I'll get asked by the performer, I'll have to watch their performance style and how they perform and what they like doing. And then create the trick for them. So a lot of times, one of my effects, paper cut, for instance, that came about because my brother is a police officer in Australia and he loves shock magic. I'm not a big fan of shock magic, but he loves it. So he's like, I want to do a trick where I can, like, I don't know, bleed on a card and it makes the card appear in my blood. Could you do something? So I had to watch a whole bunch of his performances and how his style was. And that's how Paper Cut came about, because I was like, okay, this is, this suits him to a T. And he trialed and tested this at like a lot of different police sites. I don't know why you'd be a police officer doing cuts routines on like a site, but he loved it. He said it broke up the tension and stuff. And then that's when Alex Pendreira, sorry, he's like, I want to release this. And then that's when we had to do the checks to make sure it wasn't already released. It wasn't already out in the market. So there's those, that type of, I guess, you know, creating for yourself, for someone else, and then ultimately into the release. If you want to release.
And that's the other question. What about releasing magic? Because you've released magic through lots of different companies, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like lots of different things. What advice can you give on actually releasing magic? Like which company to go for? I know you're probably going to say Murphy's.
Murphy's Magic. No, it's also what you feel right. A lot of times I have friends that come to me or I see a friend that has an effect that I absolutely love. But you have to go with what company that suits. So like 1914 do some really awesome mentalism style routines. You wouldn't go for them for like, you know, flappy visual, like, you know, yeah, you know what company, you know what the effect is, you know what the company suits. You want to have the company that's going to promote your product the best, right?
Yeah.
So, and also too, whether that's another thing you want, do you want it to be, so for argument's sake, if you want it to go to Murphy's, you know it's going to go out to shops all around the world. So do you want it in as many hands as possible, or do you want to go to like Lost Art Magic? Released quite a few effects through them, because, and even started helping run their back end of their socials and their company towards the end, that it came about because they're very knacky, very niche-y. Like some of the routines that they have on there is very, like they're a small boutique magic producer, right? So, you know, you'd go to them for like small knacky, like the Razor Eyes for like Xavier Spade, and all those knacky, cool moves are going to be there. So you'd go to that shop for, so you need to find the best shop that is going to, or the best magic producer that's going to do the best for your product, because yeah, you don't want it going in the wrong hands and it becoming something else, or yeah, you have a very mentalism heavy thing. And then the trailer's like, hey guys, what's going on? Woo! And then it's like bright color. You're like, what is going on in? So yeah, I think that comes down to the creation then. So that's ultimately in the release, but even the development side of it, when you, like, you know yourself, when you have an idea and you go to a magic producer, it's not released the next day. They obviously, because they've got a reputation to hold, so they want to obviously do their checks and then do the production, do the trailer, do the editing, and all those things take time. So you could be looking, if you come up with an effect, be prepared to sit around for like a year and a half, 2 years before it sees the light of day. And there's always that time crunch too, because someone else could be a year and a half ahead of you and release it right before you actually get it out the door.
Yeah,
so you got to be prepared to bite the bullet there too. If it comes out and then you either chat to that creator and say, hey, I've got this, are we happy enough that we're both going to release, or do you cut it? So you got to be prepared for that as well, which is always scary.
That's great.
I hope that's enough advice. I probably just talked really dark about creating magic.
No, that's fun. That is absolutely fantastic advice. It really is. Yeah. Now let's talk for a second about socials, because you came into the UK, your background was very much in creating and running shows and this side of things. Would it be fair to say that when you came into the UK, you slowly transitioned into less of that and more of running socials for various different people?
Yeah. So, sorry, go.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh no. So in Australia, a lot of it started because I was, while I did my magic and things, there was some, I actually had photographer mates that hit me up and said, can you help me with my social? Cause I would do like levitations in my Instagrams and that kind of stuff. And they wanted to kind of take their socials to the next level. So we had to kind of, I would look over their socials and I guess consult on how we could take their photos or their content and take it to the next level, making them a bit bigger. And then when I got over here, I think I'm trying to remember the question. I got over here and then that's when I started working on, so I actually flew over. My first job here was with an auction house here in Belfast and doing the same thing with them. Like they were inquiring about having a social media guy, and I went in and said, what's your history in auction houses? I said, I've got none, but this is kind of what I do with the socials. I showed them what kind of where I've worked with them, photographers in the past, or, you know, I was helping with Lost Art then and showing them what we can kind of take. And I even did some mock-ups. It's always good to do, like, you know, don't go in cold-handed. I took some of their content and readjusted it and made it a bit more exciting. And that kind of got them excited. And that also worked my way in with Dynamo, because obviously then they're seeing my stuff that I'm trying to create. And then they even hit me up and said, hey, look, we're looking at doing stuff with socials. What do you think of this? And then I would give me a second and I'd mock something up and come back to them and say, this is what you have. This is just, you know, your standard image. How can you make this? And that's, you're seeing this as a trend now online. If you go to Instagram Reels or whatever, you're seeing the before and after, how to make your shots more interesting, tilt your phone this way, or then you can do levitation super easy now with anything. And that was it, just trying to think outside the box. And that's, it wasn't really a job that I kind of was seeking, but fell into because more and more people asking me about it. So that answer your question?
I suppose the lesson there is you listen to what people want from you and you adapt accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. So you've mentioned several times doing the socials for Dynamo. How did that come about? Because that's huge. Like, I mean, over here in, you know, over here in the UK, there's probably no one bigger than Dynamo. And and there you are running his socials. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're a guy from Australia that comes over to the UK, kind of starting again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up running Dynamo socials.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't mean to be name dropping. I just, that was one of the first things that kicked me off here.
I don't think you're name dropping. I think it's fantastic accomplishments. I think it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It came about because he had a card throw challenge at the time, and I could do the card throw for the life of me. So I was, how am I going to make my own? So I made my own one where it was kind of like a CGI card throw, and it smashed the camera and it all exploded and all went to nonsense. And obviously I've known Dynamo for quite a few years. So obviously him seeing that and then asking me, then obviously that came into their team of like, let's look at the other stuff he's created. And they just called me up and said, would you be interested taking a look at our socials and what you think you could do? And then that's where it led into that. And then full blown within a week, can you come work with us and run all of our stuff? And worked with a great team there, but it was a lot of creative design and editing. And you've probably seen my socials. I haven't posted on my own socials in months and months and months because I haven't had a chance. It's all been other people, which is, I bloody love. It's great. But
that's hilarious.
Yeah. That's where it fell into. And then obviously having the background in magic was, I guess, a hand into helping create routines and stuff for him as well. So it kind of went hand in hand. It was good to, I guess that's where it kind of fell in with Murphy's too, having a background in magic and then also socials, had a foot in that door as well. So.
Which brings us to the next question. How did you end up at Murphy's Magic? Like, how did that come to be? I mean, this is a company, the largest magic wholesaler in the world, based over in America. Here's you, you know, in Belfast. And, you know, how did that come to be?
Well, originally it was, I was still working at that auction house doing stuff for them. And because I do a lot of product photography for the auction house, and then having the background in magic, and then obviously I guess having I didn't even know my name was out there about social media creation. Just, you know, people occasionally contact you, and Michelle, who runs the marketing, said, oh, did you want to have a look at our socials? And having a quick look at them, I felt like they were a bit they needed like a bit of a zhuzh up a bit more, because socials, obviously having them develop over years, you know yourself, like the demographic on social media is quite a young audience, so you need to kind of make that a bit more exciting. So I looked over it and I was like, oh yeah, it's a lot of work, because Luke was doing a lot of work, like he was covering all platforms, and so it's a lot of work for one person to do. But this is kind of where I'd kind of take this and kind of cover all platforms. And then obviously, because it was a lot of work for one person to do, Michelle said, would you want to come on and take some of the load off Luke, and you come in to create your, you know, you take care of a couple of different platforms. So that was the way it was run. I pitched some ideas again, went in, I didn't really pitch ideas. I kind of talked about what I would kind of do, and then had the same thing where I had photos and show what you could do differently or where you could kind of create different content. And then I guess that got them excited enough to say, hey, did you want to come on board? And ran the TikTok, Instagram. So we ran from TikTok, we ran ours, and it grew 1.4 million followers in less than 3 weeks. So it was from nothing to there. Yeah, it was good fun growth. So it grew really well. And then just running other socials, and then Luke left, and then I'm running all the platforms, all different content. So it's the best part was them, because they're rent based in California. One of my biggest things where you're a worldwide company. Again, this comes into where you got to adapt and you got to know what your market wants. They're a worldwide company. There's people in Australia. They want to be obtainable 24/7. You probably see me keep looking over this way because I'm getting messages now on Murphy's that I'm like, well, I need to respond to those. Because they're a 24/7 company. You got people in Australia, you got people in China, you got people in India, like UK, all over the world that want to chat. And if you're based in California and you're working on a 9-to-4 time there, there's only so much you can do in that 9-to-4 time zone, right? To get content created, edited, and to respond to all the people. So my typical day, I probably start at like 6 or 7 in the morning, get up, respond to people that I've missed while I've been sleeping. Then about 9 or 10, get into my content for the day, edit, film, have that finished maybe like 4 in the afternoon, post on all my platforms, and then get into commenting and responding to people to maybe 1 the next morning.
Wow.
So, and then we're also in meetings.
Very a full-time job and then some.
Yeah. 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 It's a full-time job, but I guess that's kind of what I went in saying, you want to do this, you want to be it. So at the point now, I think if you send a message to Murphy's on any of the platforms, you're not going to miss. I'm not going to miss anyone. Like I'll respond to everyone because I want people to be heard or people to feel like, because at the end of the day, I know we're a big company. I don't want people to feel like we're a big company and they're going to be forgotten about or not heard. So I try as much as I can. Like I'll respond to everyone. And then if people ask questions, obscure things, I'll go away and try and research that to come back to them. Because I know, yeah, I want people to, like while we're trying to sell a product at the end of the day, I also want people to have like a good rapport with us to go, oh, I wanted to know about a quick thing to do with this trick, and they went above and beyond to, I guess, try and help me. If that leads to a sale, then great. But also I want people to feel like they're heard at the end of the day. So yeah, I guess it's more social media now too. It's also a lot of customer support and helping people. And
yeah, it is. It kind of crosses over, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Yeah. And is there a particular platform for Murphy's that's the most important platform? Like, is the one that they think that's the platform that we kind of really, because watching your socials, it feels like it's Instagram.
Yeah. Well, that was probably more so because that was where I did a lot of my background in. Is in right. Instagram, the quick, again, it comes down to the demographic, and you know, people's attention spans on social media is very short. YouTube is very long form content. You want people to come there and sit down. And you want to have people in. The longer you have people in, see, that's another thing. So if you want to be making money from YouTube, you want to have people sitting down for as long as you possibly can to be making in that revenue. Well, we don't even monetize any of our content on Murphy's because we don't feel it's right to be, you know, making money off other people's trailers and that kind of stuff. So we don't monetize any of that. So we go even like, so all of our Instagram and stuff is very short form, quick, visual, bright colored stuff where I try and take a trailer, make it snappy. And again, it's knowing your platform. I don't know if I want to get too much into like how the platform runs, but Instagram now you're getting photos, they don't get as much reach as a Reels would. So now it's trying to rethink of how a trailer is going to be or how the performance is going to be and how we're going to see as many people as we can and again share other people's content who are using our products in Reels and getting them out to as many people. And then so Instagram, yes, that way, because I know that's where a lot of our, like looking at our engagement, we get a lot more engagement through Instagram. But again, it depends on the content too. Like if I post up a meme on our Instagram, it doesn't get any likes, but if it gets on our Facebook, it goes gangbusters or people love the top fives or learning about what's cool on Facebook. But then our YouTube, everyone wants to learn about your long-winded, like the long-form interviews and sit down where they're going to buckle in. But it also, weirdly enough, depends on the time of day you want to post that. So where I have the What's New This Week, where it's a short, you know, it maybe runs, depending on if there's an interview in it or not, it'll run between 6 to 10 minutes, because it's built for people that are on the train or in the shower or having their breakfast of the morning to watch a bit of content and get it out. So while it seems very Instagram heavy, it kind of needs to be, because that's the platform you kind of need to post on at least once or twice a day to stay up in the algorithm and to be pushing your content to be seen as many times as possible. And again, you don't want to seem annoying too. I don't want to, if you ever see a lot of Murphy's content, you're like, this is driving me insane. Let me know, because you got to think of that too. It's a, yeah. If that, I'm trying not to get too depth into how socials run, but that's kind of.
I was going to ask one more question on socials, which is, there's very few people that know as much about you when it comes to social media, especially within the magic industry. For any magicians that are watching this that want to improve their social media, and they do, let's be honest, these days, if you're a professional magician, you need to have your social media in check. The days of like just having, you know, like a Twitter account that has one tweet in 15 years, that's long since gone. What advice could you give a magician who's wanting to raise their profile on social media without turning this into a 5-hour masterclass? Because I could literally just wind you up, Bo, and just leave you going. I could go and make myself a cup of coffee, go down and grab some dinner from somewhere, come back, and you'd still be going.
Step two.
Right.
I guess don't spread yourself thin over all the platforms. Choose what platform you want to be big on and learn about that platform. Do your Google searches and do your, go to your Reddit feeds, learn about how that platform is run, because every algorithm is different. And then you'll see what's popular. But like knowing Joel from just going to, cause he's growing crazier. Like I think he's at 16 or 17 million followers on TikTok at the moment. So
that guy's just blowing up.
Oh, it's insane. But you see what he does, it gets trending, and you'll see other magicians performing the same thing. I guess even this, I even now see people performing like, you know, the Julius Dean stuff or that kind of stuff to try and recreate that. While that could work, because it could be for Joel's, again, personality and performance style. If you see that's blowing up, create your own version of it, because someone could come along, and I know that's been effective. If someone's watching, seeing Joel's, they come across to yours, and it's the exact same performance scripting trick. They're like, I've already seen this, scroll on. You want it to be different. You want it to be your own. It comes with a trick out of the box, right? While you get the performers or the creators' performance of this, you want to make it your own. So do the same with socials. Make it fun, interesting, and don't get lost into how everyone else is doing it. And again, depends on the platform. If it's for like TikTok, make it as bright and colorful as you can. And snappy, get, like I said, like within the first 3 seconds at the most crucial part of your real Instagram reels, your YouTube shorts, or your TikTok, you want to jump straight into the effect. I know as magicians, we love a story. We love setting up the effect and we love getting into it. And then, but that's not built for these platforms. You want to, within 3 seconds, jump straight in, you're performing it. You want to have that eye popping visual that's going to get, whoa, okay, I need to watch this. And then they're going to sit down for a minute max and watch this bit of content.
Yeah.
That's the 2-hour short form masterclass in 2 minutes.
That's amazing. It really is. And you know, you mentioned Joel, would you say it's important not to, like, I've met magicians that like get disappointed because they're like, oh, I've been doing TikTok for 6 months and I've got like 1,000 subscribers and there's other people that have got 16 million. It's like, be you, don't try and compare your success to somebody else.
100%. And that's what I'm talking about. Don't spread yourself thin. If you want to do one platform, like Joel. So when I first met him, he was on 100,000 when I first moved to Ireland. And I started helping him with like ideas and filming videos and helping him create tricks and stuff for his TikTok. And it was always about staying true to his style, sticking to, there's nothing worse than watching someone's content doing the same style and all of a sudden changing instantly. You're like, who's this new person? You want to stick to your same character and adapt and grow. And I've lost my train of thought. What was the question?
it was about Joel. And it was about making sure that you're not comparing yourself to other people.
Oh yeah. You're saying true to yourself, and that's where it comes into. At the end of the day, you want your content, your creation, your performances to best represent your light. And there was never a time, there was obviously we started seeing there was a trend in magic where it was trendy to expose the effects, to have the back. Mm-hmm. And working with Joel, knowing how he performed, there was never a point where we'd be like, okay, well, we're going to jump on that trend. And it was, this is what's everyone's loving this. This is famous. So we started going, well, how can we make that, again, adapt it, make it different to what works for the magician? And Joel's never like, I never want to expose something. So we would do like a fake reveal of a thing where it didn't make any sense. You'd watch it and you're like, how is that? And that started to catch on then. People started going, oh, this is a cool way. Because it was stupid. Like there was, you know, the pen to pencil?
Yeah.
You know how that works? There was one where Joel would stick the pen up his sleeve and then the pencil under his hat. And you'd get a bit of string and tie them together. And people, obviously, a method that's not going to work. But people watching are going, oh, that's how it works. So you later on, it's kind of like where you perform a routine. And then, because at the end, he would like cut the string and then have it do it again. And people are like, hang on, what? Oh, there must be a second string. It's when you'd go to, you know, those 100% of those performances you'd go along. And even in the real life, you would lead them down the garden path of this is how it's done. And then perform it again in a different method. And that would blow their mind. So, that's why, because Joel was actually he's actually a stage mentalist. So his whole background, and he only started doing the socials because of lockdown. So he's even had to adapt his whole performance style. So you see him in person, he's not this wow crazy guy. He's had to adapt, and that even comes down into a lot of his stuff he performs on stage or in real life, and he doesn't want people to go, oh yeah, he's running a thread up around his shirt tied to one pencil to another. You kind of have to lead them down that garden path. So people are looking for that pencil, and it's, you know, the method that it really is. So it's adapt, grow, be different to what everyone else is doing. While you can still jump on a trend, think of a way that it's going to benefit you and not lose you in the crowd of a thousand other magicians doing that.
That makes total sense. That makes amazing sense. So now you're at Murphy's.
Uh-huh.
They originally brought you in to help Luke.
Uh-huh.
Luke's no longer at Murphy's. So now you're having to do everything all on your own.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a job opening at some point for somebody watching this that's like super interested in potentially working with Murphy's? Or have you got this by doing your 24-hour a day, you know?
Well, see, that was the thing. I got asked all this when I... So we got asked about all this Murphy stuff. Within... for a couple of weeks of me saying yes, we're looking at buying a house. So within me saying yes to Murphy's, we'd already put an offer in at the house. So I had to pack up and move. My wife was also pregnant. So within my first month at Murphy's, I remember I was in the delivery room and I was, yes, honey. Well, she was giving birth and I'm up doing posts to Murphy's, which went down a treat. She was distracted, so it's fine. But it comes like I've got like a newborn child. He's 4 months now. I'm full blown trying to do dad work, trying to, you know, we're still moving in. We're still getting like paint jobs done in the house. Like the painter like left yesterday. We've got people coming in to replace windows, like, you know, trying to run that life and then trying to run socials. I think I have it. Like I'm putting in a lot of hours. So I hope I have it. If it comes down to, I feel like I'm getting inundated or I am never one to say, to ask for help. So if it came down to the point where there was times we need someone, or Murphy's like, if Michelle, who is my boss, or Mark, but Michelle's running the marketing, if she was to say, look, you're lacking, I'd be the first person to say, yeah, I need some help over here. And that was really good, because even though we have a full team, like Lloyd, he's amazing. He always asked me too, did you want me to create some content? Like, did you want me to make a photo? Did you need hand with this? Like, he's down to help. And that's what the best part about Murphy's is, even though we've got teams that run other things, they're willing to help each other out and jump in. And so I always have other departments asking me, hey, did you need us to shoot this, or did you want us to do this? And which is really helpful. So if it came down to it, I'd be the first person to jump online on socials and say we're looking for someone. But hopefully, fingers crossed, I have it. And it's hard not to when you have like really supportive, a really supportive team. So
that's great. That's awesome. Now, obviously, we're filming this and it's just before Blackpool.
Yes.
I'm going to try and get this up before Blackpool if I can. And my question is, are you going to be at Blackpool?
Yes, I will be. Myself, Lloyd, and I think Titanus is coming to Blackpool.
Wow, the big T.
The big T-Dogs, T-Dog Millionaire. He's coming. The girls aren't coming because of COVID, and if they fly back and they're positive, then they can't fly home. So they're not coming. But yeah, myself, Lloyd will be there. I think we're coming over. We've got an event coming up early next month that we kind of want to kind of promote. So we'll be walking around. We don't, obviously, don't, ooh, Murphy's well, don't have a booth.
Sorry? If you've got an event you're wanting to promote at Blackpool, can you promote it now?
Oh, no, it's not at Blackpool. It's the, we're getting to the first, well, tying down the days. It's going to be, it's not really us. It's Cherry Casino Playing Cards. They want to.
Oh, you know what? I love the Cherry deck.
A lot of people don't know. Like, it's Lloyd. He's been with Murphy's for how long? And he got his hands on the first deck and he goes, I didn't realize how nice a deck this is. And a lot of people don't. Like, we, my first point of thing coming into Murphy's, I was like, we need to get, you know, some decks out into people's hands. And now we have quite a few cardistry magicians. Like, if you see us sharing online content of the same people performing those cards, because we sent them the cards and we've stopped and they keep, it's like a heroin fix. And they're like, the cards feel so nice. They handle well. They look great. They're not copyrighted in any way. So a lot of magicians kind of get, you've seen them pop up more and more and more now, which is good. But it's good to know that magicians are enjoying the cards. Obviously, if they didn't, then we know we're happy to cut the ties, but people are enjoying how they feel and how they look and how they handle. So it's good that magicians are jumping on that.
Well, I was with Lloyd the other day and he had a cherry deck in his hand. Yeah. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I'll have to get you a couple of decks.
He didn't have moonshine deck, but he had a cherry deck. Hey, last Blackpool 2020, I won two cherry decks off Kathy.
How did you?
Because she was super impressed that I've got most of Murphy's back catalogue on my arm. No, there's the poker chips, there's Cube 3, I've got everything. So she was like, oh, have a couple of cherry decks. Don't mind if I do.
Well, there you go.
So what are you going to be doing at Blackpool? Are you going to be getting content? Like, as the socials guy, are you going to be running around getting content? And if there's magicians at Blackpool that want to appear on the Murphy's content, what can they do to get on your radar? Do they streak naked through the winter gardens? Do they, like, what do they need to do to get on Bo Kramer's radar?
That will definitely be the attention getter to, if you want to run naked through, although I don't know if security would enjoy that. we'd probably get flagged on our socials as well. No, the best thing to do, probably, because we're going to be doing, to kind of promote this event, we're going to do some, we'll be having giveaways and stuff. We'll be walking around like bags of cherries and bags of like effects and stuff that we'll just be handing out. So if you want to win some cool stuff, I guess come up and show us what you're doing. Like, we like to see performances and what people are working on, because if it's something really cool that you guys are working on, then while we can give you a free gift, we'd also like to film it and then put it up on our socials. Like I said, we're a big company and we want to kind of give back to the people. Like, you're going out and buying our effects, we don't want you to kind of, we want to also support you by going, hey, look, giving you a platform, use our platform to be seen on. So by all means, if you see myself, Lloyd, we also have another videographer walking around with us to shoot content while we're there. So if you've got something, please come up, show us. We'd love to see it. And I'll also be doing live. So if you all see us jump on our Instagram live, let us know and go, hey, I want to see this from this stand. I want to go see Quantum Deck. So we would walk up and be prepared for that. We'll be standing at your stand the whole time.
Good luck finding Quantum Deck anywhere.
Yeah, that's it. We'll be walking around following you like a bad smell.
Yeah, but, right.
No, that's it. Just come up and find me. Like, I'm always going to be about, unless I'm myself running down naked through the winter gardens, then
that's cool.
Yeah, then don't come anywhere near me.
And I've got a very important question about Blackpool. Obviously you're going to be there representing Murphy's.
Yes.
I spoke about this on the podcast with Lloyd last week. You're going to be there representing Murphy's. And obviously my friend Eric Tate, I don't know how well you know Eric, Eric Tate's going to be there representing Penguin, two of the biggest companies in Magic. I think that we finally organized a competition, Penguin versus versus Murphy's, in a beard off between you and Eric Tate.
It's
one of the best beard. So I'm laying the challenge down here on behalf of Eric Tate, Bo Kramer, Eric Tate, Murphy's Penguin, beard off, live at Blackpool.
I already know Eric's going to win because he's got a lush, gorgeous beard. All I kind of want to do is when you meet men with other beards, you kind of just want to rub your beard on another men's beard. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But look, I just want to have our beards entangled in ecstasy. So if Eric's down for that.
If we get into a situation where you and Eric's beards are entangled in ecstasy, I'm taking that picture and you've got to promise to put that on the Murphy's socials.
Oh, I will.
Perfect. Right. Amazing.
You just wait for you to come around.
Click. Exactly. I got one more question for you, my friend. And the final question is, you have, we've talked about this. You've accomplished so much in magic. You've released really well-received, best-selling products. You've worked. What I love about what you've done, and hopefully this has come across in the interview, is you've carved your own path into magic.
Yeah.
Rather than just focusing exclusively on performing, because that's what's meant to be done, you've taken the aspects of magic that you really love doing, and you've focused on becoming really successful in those areas, whether that be social media or running shows or creativity or whatever it is, and you've done phenomenally. And now you're doing the dream job. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in charge of the socials for the largest magic company in the world? I mean, it's incredible. But is there anything left on your magical bucket list that you want to achieve? Is there anything that you haven't ticked off the list that you kind of go, you know what, I still want to do this?
Firstly, thank you. I really appreciate that. I don't see myself. I've always got room to grow. Like, there's still so much I don't know. And that even comes down to, like, even yesterday I was creating a bit of content. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So I'm online on YouTube learning how to create that effect. So there's even with shooting a product, I don't know, I'll shoot it 900 times to get it right. So this, I still got a lot of room to grow, but having this, definitely carve your own way. Don't follow what is the norm. If it doesn't feel right to you, don't do it. Don't push yourself, because you're going to be unhappy. It's got to be stuck in a dead end job that you don't want to be stuck behind a desk, right? If you performing, you don't want to be performing, don't do it. Find out what makes you happy and then get into that. Like, and I guess while follow what people kind of want from you as well, because you might not realize that I honestly don't know if I'm that good at socials and that kind of creation wide, but people kind of keep wanting me to do it, so I'm happy to do it. So follow where people want you to kind of go, follow their lead, and then just put in all your effort. And like, and then the other day, if you're enjoying it, like you said, this is the dream job. Like, I love magic. I'm always watching trailers, always watching performances, always watching tutorials. Like, I can't get enough of it. And then having the back end where I have an open door to watch as much magic as I like, Murphy's have done the wrong thing there, because I'm just watching everything. I'm just like, this is brilliant. It's like a kid in a candy store, right? But then actually being able to create content on things, like, a lot of times, if you see me post something online, it's also because I've watched the tutorial, I've watched the trailer, I've fallen in love with the effect. And I go, I need people to know about this, because this, I love this. So while I'm running Murphy Socials, I'm also excited about the products that I see. So, and at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like a job, because I am enjoying it that much. So what is in store for me? I don't know, because I'm at the point in my career, I guess, where I'm the happiest, because I've got all this magic. The best part about Murphy's is they're like, this is while you're under our umbrella, you're promoting us. Do what you want. Do what makes you feel happy. Do what you think other people want to see. So that's kind of where it's good, because I have my own free reign to kind of give, I guess, Murphy's social media, a personality. So a lot of that you probably see my stupid personality coming through, where I call everything tasty, or, this is a tasty effect. Like, I'm a 13-year-old boy. That comes through, that comes through. So if it came down to it, if I lost my job tomorrow, heaven forbid, what would I like to do? I'd like to go back to creating more routines for other magicians. If that came down to it, if Murphy said, look, we don't need you anymore, you're out, I'd always try and help other magicians with socials and stuff, but I'd love to go back to creating magic for other people, get back into the nitty gritty behind the scenes stage, hiding under a stage with remotes and setting stuff going, and lying in the dirt, that's kind of where I get excited by too. So if it came down to it, if there was like David Blaine or like, I guess you get your big names like that, which everyone would love to work for. But even like anyone who's like wanting to grow their socials, just hit me up and go, hey, I want to do this. I'm down for that too. I just love being involved in what other people are doing. So I don't know if that, yeah, I don't really have a long-term goal. I'm kind of happy where I am. I live for the moment, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the best way to be. Live for the moment, 100%. And you're still creating magic to release? Are we going to see another Bo Kramer trick coming out sometime soon? Because I think the last thing you bought out was Loki, wasn't it?
Yes. And that was, what, 2 and a bit years ago now, I think? Mm. I've got an abundance of effects that I've been working on for years. And it comes to a point, even as a creator, it's just like myself, I've got tricks where I've got to a stand, like a hold on, because I've created stuff, like it's not quite there yet. I need someone else's expertise. And that's where it comes into being a creator. Never be scared to ask for help. So I've had to ask for help from other magicians where they kind of come in and give me their advice or their help on building things. But there are effects that I'm trying to perfect. And I haven't given them the due diligence and played with them and given them the real world scenario performance style to see how they handle. So once I get that down, then definitely we can work with, it'll be coming through Murphy's Magic to a magic dealer near you.
Well, you've got a perfect outlet for it right now if you can find time, haven't you?
That's it. But again, it comes down to there's other creators out there that I don't want. I know a lot of creators rely on creating, so I don't want to take away all the Murphys, but like the support team, like the production, that kind of started to put my effects out, because I don't need to put an effect out. Like I'll only put out if I really feel strongly and I'm happy that it needs to go out. I want other creators to come in and have their stuff heard and I'm happy to promote their product. So I don't want to put it out unless it needs to go out.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Bo, thank you for this. This has been an incredible interview. Really, it has. It's so nice to meet the person that's behind the content that we're seeing literally every single day, day in, day out, and putting a face to the person that's doing all of that. I mean, you're an amazing guy. You really are. Where you've just said yourself in this interview that you don't really post on your own socials anymore. Mm-hmm. So if people want to reach out to you, would it be best to follow all of the Murphy's Magic socials? Is that the best place to get hold of Bo?
Yeah. I literally had that the other day. I had my sister message me, and I go to my own socials only when my wife Lauren goes, hey, I've sent you an Instagram post, go have a look at it. And I'm like, oh, and then I go and I see I've got like all these missed messages. I've kind of turned off notifications on that because it was kind of getting distracting. I couldn't focus on all of Murphy's if I needed to. So if you need to, best is to reach out to me on Murphy's. but if you do go to my own socials, I will check it, I guess, probably like once a day when the wife says, hey, go check out this post. But apart from that, yeah, best to chat to me on Murphy's. Like, if you've got any questions, I'm going to be the man you're chatting to on any of the platforms. So,
perfect. And it's literally Murphy's Magic, isn't it? Everywhere. Like, like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, everything.
Yeah.
Murphy's on TikTok.
We are on TikTok. It's a whole different realm on TikTok. A lot of it is a lot of it, to be honest, is kind of like the Joel stuff. Like, we work with like a whole bunch of different creators to create their content, or to give them stuff to create content, and then they like, or even a lot of it is searching through the world as well, going through, following all these people and saying, oh, that's something we've released, or that's something that this other company's released, and we sell it through. So then contacting that creator and saying, hey, can we post that? So a lot of that is that too. And it's, again, sometimes you do get that person's content and have to cut it down as well to kind of match that platform. But we do have a TikTok there as well. But again, it's what you're into. Like, I don't try and cross what we have on TikTok is that super high energy. That doesn't play well on our YouTube or doesn't play well on our Facebook. So it doesn't ever get seen there. So if you really want high energy, high like engagement videos, go to our TikTok. But yeah, we have a TikTok.
Perfect. There you go. Didn't even know that. Yeah. So yeah, I will drop all those links at the bottom of the screen and in the description. But yeah, seriously, one more time, Bo, thank you so much for coming on the channel and doing the interview. Like I say, I know how busy you are.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me on, man. It's been an absolute honor. I've seen you online for so long, and to sit down with you and actually have a nice proper conversation. I know, like, you know, you were on our Murphy's the other day, and it's good to actually continue that conversation. Like, I hope we get to do it again soon. So thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And don't forget, anybody that's watching this, leave a comment down below. If anybody's going to read the comments to this video, it's going to be the guy, the man, when it comes to social media, Bo Grenham. So leave a comment down below and go, you know, go check out everything that Murphy's Magic are doing. Support them, because Bo's working really hard to push that content out there.
Well, yeah.
And aren't you? So, yeah. And don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow with another video. So, yeah, on behalf of Bo, one more time, thank you so much, my friend.
No, thank you so much. I really, 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 really do appreciate it. You're the best.
You're the best.
You're the best. Look, you're the best.
Okay, we're both the best, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast. Magic. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel. Magic TV. Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.